Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to tell you about a guy named Pete who got a job as a switchman at a railroad. He had weeks of training before his on-site evaluation, and finally that day came, and the supervisor took him into the switch booth where he would be working to be tested. And it was there that the following conversation transpires. His supervisor said to Pete, "Now imagine you're sitting here alone and you learn that there is a northbound train on that track and another southbound train on the same track. What would you do?" Pete responded without any hesitation. He said, "Well, I'd throw the switch right here and I'd put one train on another track." The supervisor quickly countered, "But what if that switch didn't work?" Well, without flinching, Pete said, "Why, I'd go down to the track and I'd throw that big lever manually to put the train on the other track." The supervisor continued pressing him in order to create some anxiety, and he said, "And what if that switch lever didn't work?" Pete calmly responded, "Well, I guess I'd go back and call the dispatcher and tell him to stop both trains." Then the supervisor added another glitch. "What if your phone didn't work?" Pete said, "Well, I guess I'd go across to the gas station across the street and use their phone." The supervisor said, "Well, what if their phone didn't work?" Pete responded, "Then I'd go get Uncle Joe." Supervisor seemed a little stumped by that answer. He had never heard that one before. Uncle Joe? What would he do? Pete said nothing, but he's never seen a train wreck. Many of us are like that nervous little supervisor. We like to ask ourselves what-if questions as we hypothesize. It seems sometimes the very worst things that could happen to us in our lives. We wonder to ourselves things like this: what if I were to get cancer? Or what if someone I love and depend on were to die? And so just like that train track supervisor, some of us have become experts at being worst case scenario supervisors in every situation. What we are really doing when we do this is we are anticipating the future from the perspective of fear instead of from the perspective of faith. For unfortunately, doubt has taught us to expect that the worst thing that could happen will happen. Now, it can be a good thing to anticipate events if you're going to prepare for them and attempt to prevent them. For instance, those men and women who have been working at NASA have anticipated how those tiles might fall off the shuttle again, as they have, and how to fix the problem while in outer space. But their concerns were legitimate. They were based on hard scientific data. While some of us, on the other hand, anticipate everything and anything that could go wrong in our lives, but without any proof that they will go wrong. Many people today secretly live with unbearable anxiety because they are in constant fear of what the future may bring. Many seem to always imagine the worst, thinking to themselves, "What if this were to happen to me?" Or, "What if that were to happen?" And then they tell themselves, "You know, I don't think I could survive it. I don't think I could make it if that were to happen to me." And so in short, what we do is we let our imaginations run wild. And so we worry about that next big train wreck in our life. Now, most of this worry is at a sort of subconscious level. And I think we're unaware of just how much worry intrudes upon our faith, and upon our life, and upon our happiness. While we continue to function at some level in our life and in our work, we're always asking in the back of our minds things like this. What if I'm unable to work and don't have enough savings to retire on? Or what if my spouse stops loving me after 10 or 20 or 30 years and begins to cheat on me? Or what if something terrible were to happen to my children while they were out of my sight? Or what if I'm genetically doomed to the same diseases that others in my family have died from? Or what if I lose my mind and my memory and those things unique to my identity? Now, we're not likely to admit all of these worries to anyone else because we know, first of all, that many of our fears are irrational and unfounded, and so we don't want others to think we're crazy. And yet, like that supervisor, many of us are worst case scenario experts. We are always anticipating that the very worst thing possible is what is going to happen next in our lives. And my friends in Christ, when we do this, it becomes very hard to trust God and His promises at the same time. This kind of incessant worry can spill over into our spiritual lives as well. As Christians, we can find ourselves chronically worrying about these things. Have we committed the unforgivable sin? Or will we turn away from faith in our last hour? Or have we done something in our past that is beyond even Christ's capacity to forgive? Now, sometimes these worries can be beneficial if they bring us to repentance so that we humbly turn to Christ in our distress. Or if the devil has his way, they can fill us with doubt and dread and drive us to despair. And by the way, some of us worry about that too. Well, I think it's interesting to note, if you look at today's gospel lesson, that the disciples are cut from the same bolt of cloth that we are. They're no different than those of us who struggle with worry on any given day, because their sin nature, too, caused them to waver between fear and faith. They worried even though they were able to physically walk and talk to the Lord. In today's gospel, we see an example of this needless worry. For anticipating the worst, the disciples imagined that the people who followed Jesus were going to starve unless Jesus sent them away. There were about 5,000 men, but there were really many more people than this because they had their wives and their children and members of their household along with them. And they had come out into the middle of nowhere to hear Jesus preach and teach. And the disciples found themselves in their minds racing ahead, worrying what is going to happen to these thousands of people when they get hungry. For there is nothing to feed them except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And so in their minds they jumped ahead and they imagined something akin to a train wreck. Imagining the worst, they imagined that those people who followed Jesus from their towns might starve to death unless they were promptly sent to their homes. But we know Jesus didn't let this happen. He was not about to forsake those who had just chosen to follow him and forsake their homes. Instead, our Lord performed a miracle, and he fed the thousands with plenty to spare. Because the disciples were worrying, they had forgotten an important factor, that they were with the Lord, and with the Lord nothing is impossible. It is realizing this, that we have a gracious God and Savior who loves us and who has the desire to do whatever it takes to meet our needs, that will allay our worries and calm our anxieties. Now, I realize I may not be talking to all of you. If you are not a chronic worrier, that's great. Blessed are you. Blessed are you if you can take each day as it comes in childlike faith and trust. But to those of you who are habitual worriers, I have good news for you. The disciples in today's gospel reveal that, like you, they are prone to worry. They too jump to catastrophic conclusions. But faith can keep you from doing this, for the Bible promises that not even your worst worries and worst nightmares could ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. As chronic worriers, some of us tend to imagine that there is something out there that could destroy us, something even beyond God's control. We worry about some mysterious scenario that could cause our lives to go out of control, some evil fate that could overtake us. But this clearly contradicts the words that God gave Paul when he inspired the apostle to write, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want you to listen carefully to this, my Christian friends. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing can sever you from Christ. Life can't, and death won't. If you are a worrier, God would challenge you to do this little exercise. Just plug in your worst fear, that thing you dread the most, into this formula we find in Romans chapter 8. Maybe you don't fear danger or nakedness or peril or sword, but if you fear that you might die young, include it in your list of things. And say with all your heart, "Lord, I know from your promise that not even dying young could separate me from Christ's love." Or if you're older and your fear is that of being alone for the rest of your life, on earth without human companionship, say to yourself, "Lord, I know that even if I live my whole life without anyone else, it cannot separate me from your love." If you're worried about losing your memory or having a heart attack, God wants you to confess boldly that not even losing your mind or having a heart attack could separate you from God's love in Christ. I don't know what your own secret set of fears are. Only you know those negative thoughts that weigh you down as they run through your mind on a daily basis. But whatever it is, you need to know that nothing that happens in this life has any bearing on your relationship to God in the next life, for your eternity is secure through Jesus Christ. Some of us become worriers after bad things have happened to us in life. This sometimes triggers a cycle of anxiety. And granted, I'm not saying that bad things won't happen to us as Christians. I know Christians who have suffered much, even in this congregation. But the interesting thing is that bad things, when they happen to Christians, don't have to weaken your faith or destroy you. But actually, the Bible says that trials strengthen our faith as we turn our backs on the fleeting expectations of this life and cling ever more tightly to the eternal promise of God's grace in Christ and the forgiveness that he has obtained for us all by his cross. So instead of fearing that something could somehow separate you from God, know that those things that God allows to happen in our life serve to strengthen and cement your relationship to God as your faith in Christ becomes ever more firm. worry increases exponentially if we read too much into it. As Christians, are we to interpret things that happen to us as a sign of either God's approval or disapproval? If we do, we're in trouble. Because instead of relying solely on the promise God makes to us in Christ, we wrongly use life instead of Christ as the barometer for measuring God's love for us. We think to ourselves, what if I were in a terrible accident? Would that be a sign that God had forsaken me? What if I were diagnosed with a terminal disease? Would that be a sign that God had withdrawn from me? Or what if I lost a child or a spouse? Would that indicate anything about God's feelings for me? According to the Bible, in every case, the answer is no. For our text says nothing can separate us from his love for us in Jesus. It's true that during prolonged trials and troubles upon this earth, we can begin to feel God forsaken. In moments of great personal tragedy, we can feel briefly as if we've lost God, as if we somehow have been separated from his love. We reason that if God were happy with us, then things would go good in our lives. And so we argue backwards and we say, well, since things have been going terrible for us lately, then either God is terrible or he is terribly mad at us. When you reach this fork in the road, you must either gauge God's love for you based solely on the promise of the Bible or based upon what you are experiencing. And as Christians, we know better than that. We do not give any spiritual weight to our experiences, like trouble or hardship or persecution or danger. Faith reminds us not to put stock in those things as any kind of a litmus test for God's love. But even in the stoutest heart of faith, unbelief will cause us at times to doubt God's love when we are overwhelmed by hardship. And yet as Christians, we know better, and yet we fall for it again and again. Those bad things that happen in life seem sometimes to shout louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit as he comforts us compassionately in his word with the love of Christ. And so, my friends, this is the goal. To ignore whatever fears and worries may be trying to traumatize us, and to be reassured by the gospel of God's grace that nothing that you could anticipate, nothing that you could dread is big enough to separate you from the love Jesus has for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God rule in your hearts by faith. Amen.